Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the American College of Emergency Physicians just released a report card that grades emergency rooms in the United States, both overall and by state. And here's a spoiler. Overall, New York got a C, and New Jersey got a D+. Well, here to explain the grades is Dr. Joshua Moskowitz, a member of the American College of Emergency Physicians Task Force behind the report card. He's also assistant professor of ER medicine at Hofstra's LIJ School of Medicine and adjunct assistant professor at Hofstra's School of Public Health. Dr. Moskowitz, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
How do you grade an emergency room?
So this grades are not specifically a grade of the individual emergency room or the individual care that you get. What this is an overall grade of how likely are you to get the quality care that you need in the country as a whole and on a state as a whole. So this looks at your ability to access that care, your ability to get the care you need, and will those resources be there when you need it the most?
And you have a few basic criteria here. I'll just read them out. Access to emergency care, quality and patient safety, medical liability, public health / injury prevention, and disaster preparedness.
Exactly. And what we did was we took these five key areas and said the most important parts of receiving emergency medicine, emergency care in the country are these five areas. And we gave each one a percentage point of how much was worth. And then within each of these subcategories, we developed key measures and kind of looked at across the state. And we said, what are nationally reported figures? What are nationally known numbers? And we interviewed key figures across the states to come up with the numbers that we came up with to make it consistent and accurate.
So do my eyes deceive me, or taken as a whole, did the United States get a grade of D+?
It did get a grade of D+.
Really?
Yes.
Our emergency rooms are that bad? Our emergency rooms are so critical. Too many people go there for primary care, obviously, but depend on the emergency rooms. Everybody else goes there when they have emergencies.
So the
D+?
The thought of people using the ED for primary care is actually a big myth. There is a percentage of people who do access that care in the ED, but it's not by far the overwhelming number that people think. People have this misconception that the expensive emergency room, the expensive emergency care, that we're spending all this money wasting on the ED. But the reality is the emergency departments across the country are seeing 130 million people a year. 130 million visits a year. And of that, of the healthcare budget, we're actually 2% of the national healthcare budget. So people are getting very high, very quality, and very efficient care in the ED, but we also don't have all the resources we need to do a better job.
Is that the D+? It's about under-resourced emergency rooms, even though you say your colleagues are doing a great job?
Correct. Just because we're doing a great job doesn't mean we could be doing a better job. People are waiting long times for care. There is a severe shortage of specialists and access to specialty care that you need, and the quality could be much better.
New Jersey, at the national average. Unfortunately, that means a D+. It's not Lake Wobegon, where all the emergency rooms are above average. But does that mean its ER care is on par with most of the rest of the country, or what do you want to say about New Jersey as a state?
Well, New Jersey as a state did do on par with everybody else. They actually ranked 30th overall of the 50 states plus D.C. And so when you look at it as a whole, the national average went down. We measured a lot of variables. This is actually our third report card that has come out, the first one in 2006 and the second in 2009. And what's really neat about this one compared to 2009 is 108 of the 116 measures we used last time are still there. Only 8 were retired because they either don't exist anymore, they're no longer relevant, or everyone is scoring positive feedback on it. There's no reason to grade that at this point.
Listeners, is what you're hearing stacking up to your experience? If you've been to an ER in the past 4 years, either as a patient or a healthcare provider, physicians, ER doctors, or otherwise, nurses, call us up, 212-433-WNYC, or anybody who's been there as a patient, unfortunately, 212-433-9692. What makes a good emergency room? How could emergency room experiences be improved based on your time there, either as a patient or as a professional? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For Dr. Joshua Moskowitz, a member of the American College of Emergency Physicians Task Force behind this report card, and professor at Hofstra's LIJ School of Medicine, 212-433-9692. And so by these standards, New York State got the above average grade of C. Still doesn't seem so great. But New York State received the same grade as it did 4 years ago. Oh, I see. New York State, this is how bad things have gotten. New York State received the same grade as it did 4 years ago, a C, but it moved up from 21st on the list to 13th place in the country.
Correct.
Because in general, on average, the quality went down.
Well, what you need to look at also, this is in relation to the rest of the country. So if the best state in the best category went up tremendously, then the distance between what we're doing compared to somebody else went larger. So, for example, in disaster preparedness, we were of the states ranked, we were number 6 of all the states, ranking at A-. But on this report card, we're the 4th of all the states, but our grade went down to B because the distance between the states that are better prepared than us has increased to such a point that we have more work to be done.
New York State took a big hit in the quality and patient safety category, dropping from an A- in 2009 to a C+ in your new report. What's that about?
Well, that's for a few reasons. A lot of that has to do with investments in care. You know, when you have a limited resource amount of beds, I think New York State had 2 of the hospital closures of the 19 in the 2011 year alone. And so that alone is going to make the quality go down just because your access to care is going down.
JL in Brooklyn is calling to use this opportunity to shout out something related that's in the news, and I'm going to let her do it. JL, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I'm calling about Interfaith Medical Center, which interestingly received a B grade. It is scheduled to be closed the emergency room is scheduled to be closed in 5 days on January 26th. Unfortunately, the pending closure of Interfaith Emergency Department does not stem from inadequate care, but really from corruption and greed, the same thing which is going on in New Jersey. Based on a memorandum of understanding that was signed by the chairman of the Board of Trustees without the approval of the board, there's a court order mandating the closure of the hospital's emergency room on January 26th. As a result, residents of Bed-Stuy will be redirected to an emergency room at Kingsbrook Jewish. So you have 2 hospitals with closing in central Brooklyn where there's not adequate preparation.
Now, JL, let me ask you one question about how the situation, in your opinion, can be reversed. We did hear, since we mentioned it yesterday as unremarked upon so far by Mayor de Blasio, he did then come out and say he's dedicated to saving Interfaith as he's dedicated to saving Litch, Long Island College Hospital. What do you think needs to be done to save the ER and everything else at Interfaith?
Well, that's keeping. I was on the Board of Trustees of Interfaith through November 18th when I was removed because I tried to keep the hospital open. It's a legal issue. So the politicians need to have an order to, they need to go back to court and get this reversed because they can talk as much as they want. Until the order is reversed by a judge, there is an order that mandates the closure of the hospital. Interfaith is a private institution. The government cannot keep it open if the board is determined to close it down.
JL, I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate your call. And I don't know if you want to weigh in on the Interfaith Hospital issue at all.
I do. This is a very terrible case, hearing of this hospital's impending closure. But it's also a very specific case about a very specific incident. And this report card doesn't address the specific case here. What we're looking at is the overall environment. And so I practice at an emergency department in Queens. And in the last 5 or 10 years, we've experienced, I think, 3 hospital closures in just our local vicinity. And so my ED has been flooded with more patients. The patients don't disappear when a hospital closes. They just get reassigned elsewhere. And when you look at our report card, especially in New York, we got an F in the medical liability environment. In fact, we ranked number 49 out of 51 states plus D.C. on medical liability. And a large part of hospital closures stem from medical liability. So in 1986, we passed a law that said EMTALA, the Emergency Medicine Treatment and Active Labor Act. And that guarantees anyone the right for stabilizing treatment in the ED when they arrive for help. But what it doesn't guarantee is the hospital to be paid for that right. And so certain hospitals are in areas with less insurance access, are taking care of a lot of the burden of populations where they're not being reimbursed, and it's causing undue pressure on them, and that's why they're closing. And in New York City alone, we've lost, I think, 4 to 5 hospitals in not too distant past. And as a result, these hospitals are closing. The resources are being strained. And this is why it becomes more and more difficult to take care of patients. For example, I had a young man come in the other day who was assaulted on the street on the way home from work, and he had no medical insurance. And he broke his face very badly, many, many pieces that's going to require surgery. And I tell you, it's going to be very, very difficult for him to find someone who's going to want to operate on this gentleman because, number one, his outcome's going to be poor because of the injury, which was not his fault. And also, he has no insurance, and people are afraid of litigations and lawsuits and trying to help people who do need that help. And so if New York really wants to make a difference in the quality of care that we're providing to our residents, the medical liability environment needs to be changed.
But then the journalistic skeptic in me says, wait, this is an emergency room ranking report card. Is your group just using it or also using it as another excuse for, you know, to be doctors lobbying for tort reform because you don't want those you do want limits placed on liability?
Well, I think tort reform is a very important issue. And if you look at, like, the American Tort Reform Association, they rank New York as one of the worst places to practice medicine. And my concern is especially – you look at the environment of physicians, they're all leaving New York. They're going to places like Texas where there is tort reform, and they're going down there and practicing down there because they can do the care they want to give and provide the patient care. And I know I went into medicine to take care of patients, and it's making it more and more difficult to do so. And I'm spending lots of excess dollars on tests that probably aren't indicated just to practice and defend myself in court.
Olivia in Spring Valley, you're on WNYC. Hi, Olivia.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
So I've been in and out of, I think, 4 or 5 hospitals in the last 4 years, or I've accompanied someone to an emergency room. Mm-hmm. And I have two stories that are really interesting in New Jersey. One is at Overlook Hospital and one is at Morristown Memorial. So Overlook Hospital, my sister was admitted finally after 6 hours. She had ischemic colitis, bleeding out of the anus, and she was literally almost dying because she no one knew what was wrong with her. She was dehydrated, of course, because she's bleeding. And it took literally 6 hours and 2 doctor calls, one from my uncle who had to pretend to be her doctor and one from our primary care physician to admit them. They never brought her fluids. Me and my mother had to chase people down to bring her fluids. Someone asked if she was on her period. I mean, who asked those questions when someone is clearly bleeding? But then we went to Morristown Memorial for a different issue that was so minor. My mom popped a blood vessel in her arm, and it was so incredibly minor, but they admitted her. We were in, out, 2 hours. So I don't understand what this difference is. At Overlook, there were 3 people in the waiting room. I can definitely speak for the awful care in emergency rooms. That includes something at St. Barnabas.
Let's get a response. Olivia, thank you very much. Well, she's got a positive story and a negative story. Our board is full of people who we're not going to have time for, who want to say, I got great care here or horrible care there at particular emergency rooms. Maybe the bottom line that can help people is, how do you shop for an emergency room? I mean, if you pop a blood vessel or you're having a heart attack, you know, it's not the time to start going on to Yelp and seeing how people rate emergency rooms. I don't know if they rate emergency rooms on Yelp, but however they get compared. So how can people be ready to know which emergency room that's relatively in their vicinity they should go to if they have a choice?
Well, ideally, when you go to the ED, we all want the same thing. We want no wait. We want to go in right away and want to be cared for immediately and figure out what's wrong. The problem in emergencies is that they're all complex cases. What might seem as a simple blood vessel in the arm might be something much more deadly, much more serious. What something might seem as someone bleeding seriously might actually not be serious at all, and it's really hard to figure that out on the surface. And so that's why the care is so complex and difficult, and that's why more and more doctors are sending their patients straight to the ED for these complex workups rather than saying, come to the office and we'll figure it out here, because they're going to require advanced CAT scans, advanced lab work, things that are not readily available in the community. So the hard part is, how do you make this environment positive and perfect for everybody? And a lot of that has to do with flow. So unlike going to a movie theater where you go in and you know there's going to be 150 seats and you know when the movie starts and everyone shows up at approximately the same time, the ED doesn't have that luxury. They come and they go as time permits. And it's really hard to always predict that ebb and flow. And as a result, there are times that you might have a longer wait than others. And one of the things that causes this longer wait is boarding and overcrowding. And this kind of goes in the quality and patient safety environment as well as the medical liability environment. So the hospitals in New York especially are so full. If you look across the state, 80% of all hospital beds are filled. So that means for us to bring you upstairs, I need a bed to open up. And until that bed opens up, you're stuck waiting in the emergency department. And I've heard horror stories of people waiting 2 to 3 days for a bed. And that's not the care that I'd want for myself, for you, for my mother, for anybody. And so how can I improve that flow? And so by decreasing the overcrowding upstairs, by decreasing the boarding downstairs, you're not going to be waiting in that waiting room for so long. You're going to get in faster.
So if there's one concrete change that you hope comes from this report, and there are so many details in it, I'm sure there are 100 things you would like to see change. But if there is one that people should grab onto and say, okay, this is a real policy, you know, opportunity, a moment of change for something in emergency rooms in New York, New Jersey, and America, what should it be?
I think the biggest thing facing our country right now is the medical liability environment. And the reason is you're watching hospitals close one after the other because the liability has gotten so extreme they can't take care of their patients. And every time that hospital closes, I have to absorb your patient flow at my facility, which makes it more difficult to provide care to my community. And so we need to keep our hospitals open. Our population is growing in size, yet the number of beds and physicians available are decreasing in size. And that's not a formula that's going to work.
What do you think Obamacare is going to do to the emergency rooms?
You know, there's different opinions on that. What's great is it's going to give access, it's going to give insurance coverage to everybody, but insurance coverage to everybody doesn't mean equal access to everybody because there's still the same number of physicians, the same number of hospital beds, and the same number of resources taking care of more people.
Emergency room visits are supposed to go down in theory when everybody has insurance because then they'll be going to doctors in their offices. But the experience in Oregon has been in the press when they did their own statewide universal coverage is that people started using the emergency rooms more. Do you expect that to be the case nationwide?
I don't know yet. I think time will tell. I mean, on one hand, people been putting off health woes for a while, and when they get so sick, they have no choice but to come to the emergency department. I've personally taken care of patients who either had limited or no insurance who finally got to the point of illness they required ICU stays, which if they were able to come in a week before, that would have totally been avoided outpatient care. And EDs are actually pretty good at discharging patients home and finding care and coordinating care resources, but we really need the public's help and the politicians' help to change the environment we practice to provide better care for our patients.
Dr. Joshua Moskowitz, a member of the American College of Emergency Physicians Task Force, behind the new report card on emergency rooms just out. He's also assistant professor of ER medicine at the Hofstra LIJ School of Medicine and adjunct assistant professor at Hofstra School of Public Health. Dr. Moskowitz, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Thomas Moore on his new book, A Religion of One's Own. He will help you if you are religiously unaffiliated to forge your own original spiritual path. Stay with us.